Hello and welcome back to the Football Outcast. You're here with myself, Joe, and fellow outcast Tom. How you doing, mate?
I'm good, buddy. How's it going today?
Yeah, not bad. Busy, busy, busy. Busy week ahead for myself, as you know, heading to the UK. So currently juggling life, work, kids, and packing. Well, I'm not juggling packing because that's not started yet, but there you go.
Yeah, you can't really complain when you go on a holiday. So,
wing it on Friday when we're going. But how you doing, mate? You were dying, weren't you, the last time I spoke to you? Are you fully recovered? I see you swigging a pint of wine, so I'm assuming things are on the mend.
I'm a little bit better, yeah, after cracking into a bottle of wine. Yeah, nice. It's the solution to all life's problems.
So, your top tip is if you're feeling sick, go full Allardyce and get yourself a pint of wine, is it?
Seems to work for him.
Nice. All right. Well, let's kick this off, mate, as we usually do. Things that have caught your eye this last week or so in the world of football.
I'd like to start off with a really weird one that I've never seen before. And we mentioned it briefly before we cracked on with the recording. And the moment I mentioned it, you started pointing at me going, yes, that's a great idea. Last night, the Republic of Ireland goalkeeper in the under 17 European Championships, his name is Jimmy Corrin. He got sent off against the Netherlands. And the weird thing about that sending off was that he was sent off during the penalty shootout after extra time. So I've never seen that before. Have you seen that before?
I've genuinely never seen anything like this. When I saw the news headline about the strangest sending off you'll ever see here in the New Zealand Herald. I obviously had to click it because I was like, you know, I've seen everything in football. This will be good. But I've never seen anything like it. For those who probably don't know, he was off his line. Is that correct? He was moving off his line when the kick was taken, saved it. Referee blew up and then promptly gave him a second yellow.
That's correct.
And yeah, so sent him off for encroaching off his line, which, if that is the letter of the law, then we should have been seeing penalty shootouts over the last God knows how many years with zero keepers left in it. So
it's mad, isn't it? Like, I want to go read what the actual sort of law is now, even more so now to work out, because Martin O'Neill was actually in the stand and he went down to talk to the referee afterwards about it. So yeah, and suffice to say, Ireland went out because of it, really. It's a bizarre one. I've not seen it before, and pretty interesting, pretty different. I'm not sure.
Have we stuck that on the Twitter page yet, of the clip of that?
Not yet, but I think that's deserving.
Yeah, we'll get that up so people that maybe haven't seen that can have a look.
How about yourself, mate? What else have you seen this week?
Yeah, so I'm not going to dive into this one too much, but this caught my eye yesterday. You know, politics and sport aren't supposed to mix, but this definitely caught my eye. So, Beitar Jerusalem, I think it might be pronounced.
Beitar Jerusalem?
Yeah, they've recently, well, as recent as yesterday, changed their name to Beitar Trump Jerusalem to acknowledge the fact that obviously Trump has moved the US embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So like I said, I don't want to dive into that too much because that is not a thread I want to pull out and try and unravel, but that definitely caught my eye in that region is volatile and unstable at the best of times. There's obviously some pretty horrific things happening there at the time of recording, but
it's very much how to light a fuse under a dangerous situation, isn't it?
Yeah, but I just thought it was worth a mention, and I stuck that up on our Twitter feed as soon as I saw that because I couldn't believe it, to be honest. But head over to there and have a look on the Twitter page if you want to ever read about that.
The only thing I want to mention there is I wonder what FIFA's sort of take on that would be, because they really do go against politics and football mixing. Like, they'll ban countries. They've done that, you know, for doing those sorts of things. So I wonder if that's going to, you know, would to Jerusalem be banned from any European competition for being political? I don't know, but
yeah, I think they're probably enough degrees of separation between the two there, I'd imagine, to get away. But I mean, FIFA's probably got bigger fish to fry, you know. Where about they're probably trying to get ready to stage the next World Cup in Mordor or Mars or something, so they've bigger problems to solve, mate. So is there anything else, anything that's caught your eye?
Well, mate, they would hold it anywhere if they could slap a billboard and advertise on it.
You know it.
The only thing, the only other one, well, I had two, actually. I'm sorry. I had two more that caught my eye this week. One, which I thought was a real brief one, which I thought was a really nice touch from Real Sociedad. So they have a player who's played with them his entire career, played over 500 games for them. And his name is Zabi Prieto, and he's retiring at the end of the season. So they changed their badge for the last game of the season to have his face on it, which I thought was pretty cool. That's a nice little touch.
It was mean. I like that.
I do like that. And the other one I thought was actually was cool as well was Rafael Márquez, the Mexican international player. He's 39 years of age. And he's going to the World Cup. He's been included in the Mexican preliminary 28-man squad. So potentially he could be going for his fifth World Cup, which is only – that would make him only the third player to ever do that, which is pretty cool if that actually happens.
Is he – see, this is it's quite an amazing story, mainly because – is he even still playing for a team?
I don't know. I'd have to fact-check that. I'm not sure. I think he does. I think he plays in Mexico. I think he's playing with –
Oh, that's right. He's playing for Atlas. I forgot that he was even playing still. And the only time I've heard his name recently was the fact that he was being investigated for, you know, alleged drug trafficking by US authorities. So, yeah, and that is obviously coming up in some of the news stories that are reporting this. But, yeah, quite amazing, you know, turnaround, 39 years of age. Who knows? Could do a job.
Well, you know, he is. I know it's defensive. You know, he's a defensive midfielder or centre back, but you forget that he actually. You know, he's been playing for so long, but you forget he actually has won titles in Spain and won the Champions League. So he's not a bad player.
Back in the day, he was quality. Yeah, I've just moving on from that quickly. I've got two very quick things as well, just to bring up.
How dare you?
Yeah, sorry. Both these things are probably. May last longer than that Tranmere player's appearance in the playoff final. Did you see that? So it was the conference playoff final at Wembley. Tranmere versus Boreham Wood, I want to say.
You've got me here stumped. I haven't
Might
looked.
Be wrong.
I'm going to be honest.
Positions, you know, forgive me, opposition team in the playoff final from the conference. But the opposition is not the important thing here. It's the fact that Tranmere player got sent off within a minute in the playoff final.
Whoa.
Normally in these type of affairs, you know, the classic commentary cliches, you know, if a bad tackle goes in, referees don't send off players in the early stages of a game. Well, you can rip that one up and throw it out the window because this guy went in for a bit of a studs up tackle and referee was straight to the pocket and sent him on his marching orders. So, yeah, Tranmere were, they were down to 10 men within the first minute. Promptly went on to have two more injuries as well and used up all their subs before half time. So they ended up winning the game amazingly.
Oh, fair play.
Yeah, incredible scenes at Wembley for the 16,000 fans that made it there.
Oh, good on them.
And the last thing is just a stat that I heard in the week, which you may or may not appreciate.
You know I love good stats, mate. You know I love a good stat.
To be fair, I heard this. I've you know discovered this myself. I just heard it on another podcast. But all the promoted sides from the conference up in the English leagues stayed up. None of them got relegated back down.
Seriously?
Yep.
That's ace.
I know.
Well done. That's a good stat. I appreciate that stat.
I know. There you go. I was quite impressed with that myself. But yeah.
That's awesome.
So yeah. All right. Well, that was quite kind of a whirlwind, kind of round the world trip of things that's caught our eye. Nice and varied, mate. I suppose we should move on to the Premier League. It's finished. The last weekend has happened. Bit of a damp squib end to the season. What do you reckon?
You kind of took the words out of my mouth. Does it feel more like, oh, thank God that's over, rather than, oh man, I kind of miss football already. You know,
I think it's been a strange one this year. Man City have obviously romped away, which has not really left much of a much of a title fight, to be honest.
Well, the title was kind of over in October, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, and obviously that meant that the more interesting side of things, if you can call it interesting, was the battle at the bottom between quite a lot of dross. probably as much as 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, there was probably still about seven teams that were still in the running to go down, and it was looking like it could potentially make for an interesting end. But as the last 2 weeks especially has gone, the results kind of went the way and ruined all the fun for final day drama. So West Brom bottom, Stoke second, or Swansea?
I thought Stoke were bottom and then West Brom and then Swansea.
Yeah, well, Stoke won, so they didn't finish bottom in the end, but they obviously beat Swansea. But anyway, those three are down. That's how interesting it is down there. None of us even wanted to check that, to be honest. But what do you make of the three teams to go down? West Brom, Stoke, and Swansea. Obviously, you're a Cardiff fan, so try to hold back the delight, you know.
Well, look, there's a part of me that is, you know, really happy that they got relegated, because you always want to see your rivals do badly. But there's another part of me that would have loved to have seen them stay up, purely because Cardiff are getting promoted next year and we were going up. So it would have been nice to see a Welsh derby. So that's where sort of I would have liked to have seen a Welsh derby. And I think I would have preferred, there's a part of me that actually would prefer to have seen that than them go down. So it's a bit of a shame they have gone down. But realistically, if you don't score goals, you're going down. And Swansea couldn't score goals for the life of them. And when you concede the amount that Stoke and West Brom conceded, it doesn't matter how many goals you're going to score, you're going down as well. Yeah. So, we've repeatedly said in both the podcasts and articles that realistically there were 10 teams that were so poor that any of them could have gone down.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm not sure whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it was good to see that the promoted sides actually could compete. Now, whether it was, I think it was partly because they had a lot of stability. Those three clubs didn't actually change managers once.
Yep.
Pretty much every else did, for better or worse. So I don't know whether it was from Burnley down, it wasn't particularly very good for, like, can you say that any club, can any fan from any of those clubs below Burnley say they had a good season?
I think the answer to that question is probably yes, but the only team I would probably say that could hold their head high and be proud is Newcastle and the Newcastle fans, because Rafa has just effectively been dealing with a championship squad and not a lot of money to throw at it, and somehow he's managed to keep them up. And keep them up easily as well, because where they weren't looking too flash after Christmas, they kind of sailed under the radar a little bit. They weren't getting too many results, but other teams were doing worse. But he's really turned them around the last kind of 6 weeks and got them playing some good stuff, shown by the 3-0 demolition of Chelsea at St James's Park on the weekend. So I think you're absolutely right. There's probably only one side that can probably say that they've overachieved, really, or had a really good season down there. I mean, but yeah, Brighton and Huddersfield will, because they've stayed up. But
yes, I was going to say they probably would argue that we stayed up, so we've had a good season. But and that is quite fair, I suppose. But everyone else, torrid stuff. I mean,
Everton have been awful. Palace, I feel a bit sorry for Palace in a way. I think they've had injuries, which has obviously affected them, because they've proved that they can play some really good football and get results when they need it. West Ham are an absolute basket case, although Moyes has done a good job. So, yeah, Leicester have kind of flattered to deceive, gone up and down. The players don't seem to want to play for any manager that's in place. So, yeah, I think you're probably probably looking at Newcastle, mate. But
Which in one hand is... it's kind of good for the clubs that have gone up, because there were so many teams that were kind of all over the place that they had an opportunity to try and take advantage of that in a way. Like, their stability at Brighton, Huddersfield and Newcastle allowed them to kind of capitalise on a lot of the other teams sort of stagnation or not knowing what they really wanted to do. Like, it was kind of weird to see Stoke and Swansea go down because they always had seemed like they had a plan. You know, like Swansea liked playing and had a decent transfer system in place and they liked playing the tiki-taka sort of stuff. Stoke was totally opposite and they went for the long ball, you know, back in the day. And they seemed to have like an identity. Don't think either team could say that now, you know what I mean? And West Brom threw their toys out of the pram, basically, and when they hired Pardew.
Yeah, I think on that point you say about identity, but one of the big things with Stoke and Swansea over the last, you know, 5 years or whatever, 4 or 5 years, is it they've been held up as the poster boys for how Premier League clubs should be run. You know, they had a philosophy of how you know, Swansea was part fan owned, and Stoke, you know, always had a way of going about things and players that they wanted. So yeah, I think it's a shame in that sense, but I don't think you can really argue with the three that have gone down. They've not been good enough. And yeah, the results have told. I mean, I feel a bit sorry for West Brom. Darren Moore's done a great job and that squad should not... I personally feel West Brom squad's good enough to stay up out of those bottom three. But yeah, I don't know. I think the Pardew factor was an absolute... You know, that was an experiment that has badly backfired on the club, I think, and they probably kept him too long. So,
well, that was just a shambles, really. Let's be frank. That was I think he had what, 1 win out of 20, something like that.
Yeah, well, that was only in the FA Cup as well, wasn't it, against Liverpool?
Something like that. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they stick with Darren Moore in the Championship, won't it?
Yeah, from what's been kind of talked about, it looks like he's probably not going to be kept on. They might go for someone with more experience, which yeah, would be a shame because I think he's proved he obviously knows what he's doing. But I suppose there's a lot of factors around that. I mean, he knows what he's doing now with the current crop of players, but there's already been a lot of those squad members that have said that, you know, their future's out of their hands and they might go somewhere else if they get a better offer, this, that and the other. So whether he can do it with a totally revamped squad next year in the Championship, which is notoriously difficult to get out of. I mean, do clubs don't want to gamble with these things, do they? Everyone's trying to get out of that league as quick as they can. So, yeah, but it's a shame because he's obviously proved that he can do it. So, jumping from the bottom, mate, to obviously the top. So Man City have had this pretty much wrapped up since, as you said earlier, October. They've obviously hit the magic 100-point mark, which... no clubs done in the Premier League era, and that's obviously the most important thing because football didn't exist before the Premier League. Got a question for you. Do you think achieving 100 points in the season is more impressive than going unbeaten, a la the Arsenal team, the Invincibles, back in, is it 04?
Yes, it was 04. We do fall occasionally into the danger zone of nostalgia and everything looks rosy with time. It looks rosier than what it was, but I'm going to go and say that 2004 Arsenal side was fantastic. We all know that. And I think making 100 points is not as impressive as going an entire season unbeaten. I think going an entire season unbeaten is absolutely unreal. And there's a reason why it's been done only once. Yeah, all right, 100 points is a phenomenal record, but I reckon if you had a choice between 100 points and never losing, you'd go with never losing, wouldn't you?
Yeah, providing that you're not just drawing everything. But yeah, no, I know your point.
Well, you know what I mean.
yeah, no, I totally agree, mate. I think... you know, it's a nice milestone, 100 points. It certainly looks good at the end of the season on the league table, but I personally feel that going unbeaten over a 38-game league season is a more impressive feat, to be honest. And I think, you know, that's what Man City wanted all along. And unfortunately for them, Liverpool torpedoed that for them. But
Would, if you had drawn every single game this season, would that have kept a team up?
You'd have stayed up, wouldn't you, this year?
Which would be 36 points, right? But would that have kept any of them up?
Well, if they'd have drawn every game, it would be 38 points.
38 points.
Yeah, 38 points. I think it was 34 this year, wasn't it? They went down on.
Yeah. Yeah, 36 Southampton. So 36. So if one of those teams had just drawn every single game,
you'd have been comfortable.
They would have stayed up. They would have been comfortably up. That's a pretty mad stat right there. So yes, you'd be happy to draw every single game if you were West Brom, Swansea, or Stoke.
I think the I think you could flip it for Man City as well this season, and there's probably a case you could put forward for Man City this season to say that they should have gone unbeaten this year, the way they were playing and with the players they've got, because the Premier League hasn't been the strongest. You know, it's been for a long time. You know, there's a lot of dross, as we've already said, in the league, and even the other chasing pack of kind of four or five clubs. Arsenal have been poor. Liverpool have drawn way too many games. Man United have been awful, but somehow finished second. Chelsea have been awful. Tottenham haven't been particularly flash. So I think there's probably a case that they should have gone unbeaten this year. But yeah, it's obviously wasn't the case. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they gear up for next season.
Yeah, it's a valid point because, yeah, there has been some good things this season that I think would be key to talk about in a second. But just to show we're not miserable old men. like Man City, I agree, like this was their chance. I actually don't think they're going to win the title next year. Now, I was actually one of the few people that said they would win the title this year. And there's evidence of that in an article we wrote, which we will update now it's the end of the season, with other bloggers. And out of, I don't know, six or seven of the football bloggers that we co-wrote this with, I was the only one that said Man City would win the league. So I'm taking that as the only bold prediction I probably got right this year.
You got one right this year.
I got one right. But I don't think they're going to win it next year for those very reasons that you've mentioned. Arsenal in sleepwalk. They didn't win an away game in 2018. Arsenal, that's mad. A new manager will come in, new players will get rid of things. Conte will probably go from Chelsea and they'll rehash again and start the rehash button. Spurs look like they're going to spend a bit of money this time and try and bridge the gap.
I'll stop you there. Will they, though? Because apparently there's talk that the new White Hart Lane is run over budget. And Daniel Levy's already saying that due to that budget kind of blowout, that might have a knock-on effect for the transfer kitty for next season, which is something that Poch was alluding to in his slightly chippy and prickly last press conference, talking about, you know, if he's going to stay, then they need to be bold and more daring in the transfer market and this, that and the other. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Tottenham. Sorry to cut you off then.
No, it's fair. No, that's pretty well. Spurs for sixth next year then?
and Arsenal, they have won away because they just beat Huddersfield, didn't they, on the last game of the season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, forgot about that. Yeah. All right. One win out of 2018.
We've got one Super Norse listener that will hit you up on that. So, yeah, I just thought I'd get that in there now before you get named and shamed on Twitter. So,
oh, come on. No one's going to fact check. They've been poor is what my point is. So, I think – and United, you know, are going to go spend another 200-odd million on someone. So, yeah, I think your point is right. This season was the chance. I don't think they're going to win the league next year. I couldn't tell you who off the top of my head first, but I just have this sneaky suspicion that I don't think he's going to do it again, Pep. I don't think he's going to get the magic again, but we'll see. I don't know. Could be wrong.
Well, I'm going to challenge that, and I'm going to say I think they actually will win the league next year, but I don't think it's going to be the procession that they've had this season. I think they will retain it, but I feel Man United and possibly Liverpool will run them a lot closer next year, just because they have to really to keep interest up in the league. That's what we all want at the end of the day. We don't want it over by October. We want, you know, I think as I mean, even as a fan, I'm a fan of a Premier League side, but I think once you take a step back from your own team and look at the overall competition, I think everyone probably wants a competitive league, don't they? No, everyone wants a bit of interest, you know, to the end of the season. So
100%.
Well, I do, because I'm getting old and I'm not as tribalistic as I used to be about, you know, the team I support. So I just want to watch some good football and be excited and entertained. So
your time is precious.
Exactly.
Consequently, I want entertainment, damn it.
We just kind of touched on Arsenal briefly. I'm just going to throw this at you, mate.
You're going off script.
Yeah, I've gone off piste. But who do you think's going to, you know, take the Arsenal position?
Ooh.
While you're thinking, I'm just going to throw it out there. I mean, I can't believe more people aren't throwing their hat in the ring, to be honest, for this. I mean, I know they're saying it's like Moyes and, you know, going into Man United after Ferguson. But I don't think it is, because I think if you look at the squad that Arsenal have got, I mean, how keen would you be to inherit the likes of Aubameyang, you know, Ozil, you know, Cech? They've got some decent, you know, Bellerin. I mean, they're a decent squad, and with a bit of a kick up the backside and a couple of decent recruits. I mean, the infrastructure's there, the fan base is there, and you're not in Europe necessarily in terms of the big ones, so you can possibly experiment a bit more and focus on the league. I'm surprised there's not more managers putting their hand up and saying, pick me, to be honest. But
I think it's a very good gig. And I was surprised by people in the media stating that if, say, the Juventus manager, why he would go from Juventus to Arsenal. Well, Arsenal are actually, they were mocking it in a way. Like, but it's the Premier League. It is the biggest league in the world. It's where you want to cut your teeth. A lot of people go there to test themselves. You know, winning 4 titles and doubles and stuff at Juventus, maybe you want a new challenge, that sort of thing. I actually recently wrote an article on the page about potential people that would take or potentially could go for the Arsenal job. One of them was Thomas Tuchel, who's gone to PSG now.
That's right.
So he's out of the running.
Just been announced.
Random, that one. Yeah, that one's out of the blue to me. I didn't expect that at all. I'm gonna be bold. What about Conte?
You naughty little sausage.
Can you imagine that?
Why not?
Throwing out there, he's probably gonna leave Chelsea. That would be pretty cheeky,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
I think it's interesting. I don't think Allegri will go personally, just because I think he wants too much money. I think he's been demanding 200 million to spend. I'm quite intrigued with the fact that they're all saying, oh, you know, do you want to be the manager that follows Wenger, blah, blah, blah. Well, why wouldn't you? I mean, the whole point everyone's been moaning is he's done nothing for the last, like, 10 years apart from win a couple of FA Cups. I mean, there's nothing to lose by going in after Wenger. There's the bones of a decent squad. And, back yourself. Go in there. Enjoy it.
Well, Moyes went in after Ferguson had won the league.
And he had an ageing squad and all sorts of stuff going on there. So
that was a proper hiding to nothing.
I think, Ancelotti's been keen by the sounds of it, but whether or not they see him as the right person, I'm not sure. They're going to be an interesting watch, though, this summer with who's going to end up there. I think the two front runners at the moment are possibly Arteta and Vieira, by the sounds of it. That was the latest news today in the papers and the podcasts I've listened to earlier. So, watch this space. But
well, Pep came out and said that Arteta, he would be happy to see Arteta in the opposite dugout as well. So that would be interesting.
Yeah, I think there was an interesting chat today. Someone was saying that Pep rates him massively highly. And like, he obviously doesn't want him to go, but he understands that if he does need to go, that, you know, the lure of Arsenal is obviously too much for him. But on the subject of sackings, I'm going to go off piece very quickly again. I was listening to something yesterday, actually, and it was a journalist who was, he just boldly came out with a statement saying something like he genuinely reckons there could be like 13 sackings in the Premier League over the summer, which when you hear someone say that, you think that's absolutely bonkers. But I'm just going to bring out the table a minute and we'll run through who may or may not still be in a job by the end of the World Cup. But if you go from the bottom down, let's see if we can count this and see if we can get on this. So obviously West Brom at the moment, no guarantees Darren Moore's going to be there. Stoke City, no guarantees Paul Lambert's going to be there. Swansea, he's off. They've already said Carvajal's going. Southampton, Hughes, his contract...
He'll stay.
Well, yeah, but his contract is technically up, I think. He was only signed to the end of the season, so there might be change there. Huddersfield, Wagner, his stock is high, and there's a lot of talk that he could be heading back to Germany, leaving on the crest of that wave. Brighton, I think he's probably safe. Watford, I think they'll change Gracia.
Yeah, definitely.
West Ham, Moyes' contract has only been up about 2 hours, and they've already had meetings with Fonseca from Shakhtar Donetsk. Eddie Howe's probably safe. Palace, they don't know if Hodgson will still be there. I reckon he might. Newcastle, will Rafa still be there? So that's 10 teams that you could potentially switch. Leicester, Puel's probably gone.
Definitely gone.
Big Sam's probably going from Everton.
Do you know the big thing about Big Sam is that he, before Everton, whoever gave him his contract, they gave him a 2.5 year contract and they knew he was going to stay for a year. So he dug his heels in for a 2.5. So he knew he was going to get a massive payout, that man.
So on top of Everton, if you throw in the fact that Wenger's gone, Conte's most likely going to go, and there's still potential for Poch to walk away, then you've got about 15 managerial potentials that could happen over the summer before next season.
Which would be entertaining.
Merry-go-round.
And yeah, well, that's the teams there. You don't know as well if, like, obviously Cardiff coming up will have Neil Warnock there unless something weird goes on. You never know with managers from the Championship coming up. You know, Wolves manager and whoever comes up in the playoffs, they may decide to jump ship because they've got a team up, and you know, you never know as well. Could add that.
Is that enough of a roundup for the Prem? Can we just get this over with now? So can you give us a rundown on Cardiff?
End on a high, mate. Let's end on a high. Let's just say it was good. It was good to see good football from Manchester City. It was great to see Sean Dyche and Burnley doing really well. It was good that the three promoted teams stayed up. It was good to see Jose constantly being broken and moaning.
Yep.
Finally, we get out what everyone wanted and wished for, and Wenger is leaving. So we might get a good Arsenal side again. And Swansea got relegated. So we got good points.
And you've missed out at Liverpool being one of the most entertaining sides in the league.
Mo Salah was beautiful as well. Love that man. So there were some good points.
Right. You're obviously the Cardiff fan. Give us a quick... I've been dreading this since the start of the pod, but give us a bit of an update of you guys getting promoted, mate, to the Prem.
Yeah. I've held it in quite long, I think. I think I've done all right. We are coming up, which is awesome. We had a season which defied expectations, quite frankly. At the beginning of the season, I would have been happy with 10th, I have to admit. I would have been chuffed if we'd had a promotion push. Can't believe we've gone up second. That's just insane. With what Warnock has done is just a feat of managerial brilliance, quite frankly, to get what he got out of that squad. And yes, it's hoofball. It's not pretty on the eye, but I don't care. If there's a lot of too much stock put in that happy, you know, attacking football stuff. If you win, I don't care, quite frankly, as a football fan. If my team wins, that's all that keeps me happy. I don't care if it's 1-0, quite frankly. So, it wasn't pretty on the eye, but it certainly was effective. And I can see us doing exactly the same thing in next year. It's going to be nice to go up and have a united team. Last time we were up in the Premier League, which was 4 years ago, it very much was not. With the change in red, change in colour, and change in the badge, and Mr. Mackay being a little bit of a racist idiot, and spending ludicrous amounts of money, and then Solskjaer again spending ludicrous amounts of money, and we're still suffering because of all of that. So it's going to be nice to go up and have a fun season, regardless of whether we get relegated or not again. So.
Oh, well, it's nice that you're positive, mate. I make no bones about it. I'm not a massive Cardiff fan, to be honest.
But, I know.
Mainly because of the part of the world I'm from, you know, my local side. Big rivalry with your boys. But to be honest, mate, I am yourself, and we've got other mates that are Cardiff fans. And I know you guys have been put through the ringer a bit. on previous seasons with your ownership and changes to the club, as you've just mentioned. So, yeah, it'll be good for you guys to hopefully enjoy the promotion and enjoy the season for what it is coming up, because it'll no doubt be difficult, but that's what it's all about at the end of the day. So,
I will be no doubt the odds-on favourite to go down, but I have a gut feeling that we're actually going to stay up.
Well, I don't see why not, mate. There's a heck of a lot of dross in the Premier League, as we've already touched on in this pod. So you've got as good a chance as about 12 other sides in that league, mate. So
yep.
You never know.
I agree.
Cool. All right. Well,
and I'll leave it at that. I won't push any more Cardiff City. You're going to get it next year in the season. That's fine.
So Cardiff have gone up with Wolves, and the playoffs are in the process of being decided at the moment. Fulham have got... one foot in the Premier League, so to speak. They're in the final, and they beat Derby this morning 2-0, 2-1 on aggregate. And tomorrow morning, our time, down here, down under, is Villa Middlesbrough to take that next spot against Fulham. So watch this space.
I think it's going to be a Villa-Fulham playoff final. I would like to see Fulham go up, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, I think Fulham have probably been knocking on the door for the last couple of years. And they're a fairly inoffensive team, Fulham. So, yeah, I mean, I've got no beef with Villa, to be honest. Big club, it'd be nice to see them back. But, yeah, end of the day.
Two things with that. As a guy who's avidly watched the Championship this year, two things with that. Fulham is basically everyone's second team in the Championship this year because they're pretty on the eye. Other point is Aston Villa have John Terry, and I don't want to see him go up again.
So. True. Yeah, that's a good point, the Terry factor. Okay, I'll revise that. Go Fulham. all right, mate. Do you want to give us an update on the fantasy football?
Sure, why not? It's done and dusted. And
if Brian Gleeson's involved at the top, I don't want to know.
We probably won't talk about it then. Brian did indeed hold off the challenge and has claimed another title.
He's the Man City of fantasy football, that bloke. He's just wrapped
He's
up.
The worst. but I did, I released an article today in our fantasy football, just the update, final update. Congratulations to Brian for obviously winning it. He was pushed pretty hard this year by several, and it was looking like unlikely that he was going to win the title this year, but he managed to pull through in the end. So congratulations, Brian, in all honesty, and all jokes aside. And cheers for everyone for playing along, and I hope everyone enjoyed the updates. And we'll be back next year with another Fantasy Football League, and so look out for that.
We had a good good take up and entry list, didn't we, this year for teams? So
we're 40 teams
this time next year. Yeah, good stuff. No, we've given Brian some stick, but congratulations, mate, for sticking with it. I know I was religiously picking my team, to be honest, until about January, and then I completely forgot I had the app on my phone. So, must try harder. Okay, let's wrap this pod up, mate. Do you want to have a go at a bowl prediction for the weekend?
Was FA Cup weekend, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay, I'm going to go for a Man United 2-1 victory. Is that bold enough?
United to score two goals would mean they would have to be fairly exciting.
That's pretty bold, I reckon.
Pretty bold, given their current form. Okay, my bold prediction for this weekend is that I will... not be awake to watch the FA Cup final by the time I've been on a plane for a day traveling to the UK looking after a 2-year-old. So if I'm awake, I will be amazed. So that's my bold prediction, that I will not be awake for it. So
based on the fact that it's Man United playing, you probably won't miss very much.
Saving myself for the Champions League, mate, the week after. So I'm gearing myself up for that. All right. Okay, mate. Well, good to talk. Nice to catch up. And I'll leave this in your capable technical hands to get this out on the all the platforms we've got. As those of you might know, we're across four different platforms at the moment. We're on Anchor, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Overcast, and we're on Pocket Casts. And we will be advertising that across Facebook and Twitter. And also keep an eye out for our Instagram feed, which we will try and roll out in the next day or so. All right, so it's goodbye from me, Joe, and say goodbye, Tom.
Say goodbye, Tom.
Catch you soon, mate. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.